Beruchim Abayim Rabotai. Welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. We are studying Parashat Toledot. Please forgive us for the delay. There's been some technical problems tonight with the internet and issues that are beyond our control. Our technicians tried to get us back online so the affiliates can join us live. But we did not have Siyata Deshmaya, so they'll have to watch it, I think, on a delay. But good news for those that attend the class live. Baruch Hashem, the rabbi doesn't need any internet hookups to function. And Baruch Hashem will be able to give the class. Hasdei Hashem. Our parasha begins with the prayer that Yitzhak and Rivka make in order for them to have children. Vayi'atar Yitzhak leHashem lenochach ishto ki akarahi. Torah tells us how both Yitzhak and Rivka prayed because Rivka was akara. She was barren. The Gemara says Yitzhak was also barren. So they both weren't able to procreate. But as a result of their tefillah and their prayers, that changed. And not only were they answered, but as a result, Yaakov Avinu was born, hence the Shivatim, hence Klal Yisrael. It comes out that our existence is a direct product of tefillah. The Gemara says, En mazal Yisrael. There's no mazal for Yisrael. Mazal means, in English they say it loosely, luck. On a deeper level, when a person is born, he's under the influence of certain constellations, of certain stars. And that affects his prosperity, his children, his livelihood, his health. That's for most people. But Klal Yisrael, even if they're born under a certain mazal, tefillah has the ability to change it. So nobody should think that they're stuck in a certain bad luck or a certain bad groove and they're predisposed to negative consequences. You see from Yitzhak and Rivka that as a result, a direct result of the tefillah, vayatid lo, God answered them, vatahar. And she became pregnant, and she gave birth. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzhak, Mepnema hayu avotenu akurim. Why were our forefathers barren? Mepnei shekadosh baruch hu mitaveh letfilatan shel tzaddikim. Because God craves the prayers of the tzaddikim. This Gemara needs to be understood. Why was Abraham and Sarah and Rivka and Yitzhak and even Rachel Imenu, why did God put them through such agony not to have children? At one point Rachel Imenu tells Yaakov, if you don't give me children, Hava li banim ve'im ayin meta anochi. If you don't give me children, I'm going to die. And the Gemara learns from there that Hasuche banim hashuvim kamet, that those that are fruitless and do not have children, it's considered as if they're dead. Why would God put the avot under such duress? He knows that they want children. So give them. He says, no, because God loves their prayers. So because God loves the prayers of the tzaddik, so he suffers, he causes them torture, he causes them pain and suffering? What's the explanation of this, Gemara? So in order to understand this, we need to go back to basics. No Kabbalah, no Gematriot. We just need to go back to simple, basic principles regarding what tefillah is, what prayer is. It's worthy to listen because it's something we do three times a day, minimally, 365 days a year. There's no day of our existence that is not linked to tefillah. There's no day where you don't have to pray. Even on Tisha B'Av, where you can't learn, but you pray. So prayer is integral. It's one of the three pillars that the world stands on. Ala Torah va'al avodah va'al gemilut hasadim. Avodah is tefillah. The Gemara says, where did the tefillot come from? Gemara berachot, tefillot avot tekenum. The tefillah was established by the fathers. Avraham made shachrit, Yitzhak mincha, and Yaakov arbit. I once heard a, not a joke, but a nice anecdote. They said there's some people that they only come to synagogue to pray on the yahrzeit of their parents. Other than that, they don't pray and they don't come to synagogue. On this, the Gemara says, Tefillot avot tekenum. The prayers are established by the fathers. Because their fathers died, so that's why they pray. If they didn't have a yahrzeit, they wouldn't pray. The whole takana of tefillah is because of the fathers. Tefillot avot tekenum. But what does it mean, they were metaken? Well, it doesn't mean that they wrote the prayer, because we know the prayers were not written by the avot. The prayers were actually penned by the men of the Great Assembly, and Shekinist the Gedolah. Those that attend our Monday night tefillah shi'ur are well aware of that. So then what did the avot do? What does it mean Avram is metaken shahrit? Does it mean he prayed shahrit, but he didn't pray mincha Avraham? He didn't pray arbit? We have to assume that he prayed all three tefillot. The avot kept the whole Torah before it was given. So what does it mean his prayer was shahrit? And Yitzhak is mincha and Yaakov is arbit. So the Baalei Musar explain something that gets right to the essence of tefillah. What does the word tefillah mean? Doesn't mean prayer. Maybe there's other words that mean prayer, but not tefillah. Tefillah means something that binds you. In Hebrew they say, devekut, something that attaches you. One of the reasons why we call tefillin is because we strap it on to us. We tie it on to us. Tefillah is to connect, to be connected. At the time of tefillah, we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's almost as if we bond ourselves with our Creator. It's an intimate moment where we get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Karov Adonai lechol koreav, lechol asher yikra'u be'emet. God becomes close to those that call out to Him genuinely. So the exercise of tefillah is in order to elevate the person so he can get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's not so easy. Lehavdil. If a person wanted to make a meeting with the king of some country. In the olden days, we used to always use the President of the United States as our example. In all due respect to the position of the presidency, and in all due respect to the president, but for some reason, those mishalim have been watered down. Unfortunately, for some reason, people can't appreciate or relate. So we have to now talk about a king of some foreign country who's a world leader, and you want to make an appointment with him. How difficult is it to make an appointment? First of all, you have to find somebody who knows the king. You can't just walk into the palace, I'm here, who are you? The security guards won't let you in. You have to have connections and layers of protection in order to get somebody who knows the king to make a phone call for you, and it costs you a lot of money and influence, and you have to pull strings, and you owe the person a favor now back. And finally he tells you, listen, I got an appointment on February 14th, but the king's schedule is very busy, so he's giving you from 2:15 to 2:18. You have 3 minutes. And don't kid yourself, that's the way they make schedules for world leaders. They make them by the minute. When the king gets his itinerary for the day, it's in minutes. You have a phone call with this person at 2:25, it should last about 5 minutes, then we take it to the other room, you'll be sitting with this person. So you finally have your 3 minutes. So you're waiting 6 months and you're preparing. Of course, the day comes, you're showered, you're shaved, you have your finest clothes on, you make it to the palace, But it's no guarantee that the king is going to see you. Most of the time what happens is, in those cases, the secretary will come out, yes? Ah, you're here, you have a 2:18 p.m. Meeting with the king. We're very sorry. The king is running late. He had an emergency. He had to go fly somewhere. We're sorry. What do you mean you're sorry? I'm waiting for 6 months for this appointment. I have certain things that are very important to speak to. What can we do? Well, when can I reschedule? Reschedule? We don't know. Start the process again. How easy is it, on the other hand, for us to make an appointment with Malko Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eilat Ha'ilot V'Sibat Ha'Sibot? All we have to do is open the Sidur on our time schedule. You don't have to make an appointment. You don't have to have a connection. You don't have to go through the tzaddik. You don't have to ask anybody what time. 2 o'clock in the morning, you decide that you want to pray. Open the Sidur. Tefillah. Bechol Koreinu Elav. God is available anytime we call to Him. You have to appreciate this. The Zohar HaKadosh talks about certain angels that only have the privilege to praise Borei Olam once in their existence. After they praise Borei Olam, they fulfill their purpose and then they cease to exist. Every day different angels praise God and say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And that's their moment. Some praise Borei Olam a little more than that. But very rarely do you find a malach that has the ability to praise Borei Olam every single moment. But that gift was given to Klal Yisrael. That any time we'll go and refer and call onto Borei Olam, He's there. Mind-boggling. How great does it mean a human being? What does it mean an Adam? But how did that happen? Today, with the invention of the telephone, we understand, I could pick up a telephone here in New York and punch in some numbers, and all of a sudden somebody across the Pacific, in Hong Kong or China, will pick up the phone, and you hear him clearly, like he's in front of you. It's an amazing thing. And you wonder, how does this little cell phone, where I'm talking, not loud, how can he hear me across the Pacific? Just by talking into this phone. And they'll tell you, it's not only the phone. There's wires, and there's satellites, and there's cables that are taking your voice, and they're transferring it under the oceans, fiber optics, and they're bringing it at lightning speed across the other side so he can hear you clearly. If you wouldn't have those infrastructure, the phone wouldn't work. You'd get a busy signal. Avraham Avinu mitaken shahrit. You know what that means? He established the wires and the cables that if any Jew will come for the next thousands of years and open a sidur during shahrit, Borei Olam will answer you. He set up the connection. But he only set up the connection from 6 o'clock in the morning until 12 noon. Came Yitzhak Avinu when he was mitaken mincha. He established a connection for us that if a Jew is going to come from 12 o'clock in the afternoon till 6 p.m. and he's going to call on Borei Olam, he'll receive you. Why? Because already you have a pass. Yitzhak Avinu set it up for you. That your tefillot will reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. the next morning, Yaakov Abin was mitaken tefillat arbit. Comes out, the purpose of tefillah is in order to elevate a person, in order to bring him close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so we can have a private conversation. This is what it does for us. Forget about whether you get answered or not. Many people think, tefillah is a slot machine. You put in a token, you pull the lever down, and you get a toy comes out. That's what tefillah is. No, tefillah is not about, I need something, and I use tefillah to get answered. That's a byproduct. It's a byproduct. But the main function of tefillah is to connect. The Gemara says, Elu devarim she'omdim berumo shel olam. Prayer is something that is in the higher worlds. It's omed berumo shel olam. Prayer is not on this earth. Prayer reaches the highest levels in Shamayim. When we pray, we elevate ourselves to those levels. And therefore, you're a different person. Before the tefillah and after, it's what it does for you. Without getting answered. You're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's such a, I don't want to say casual, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets us refer to Him in first person, almost. Baruch Atah. You are blessed. You are the source of all blessings. You cannot say that to a king. When you go to a king, you can never say, you. That's too close. We could talk like that with each other. Or do you want something? Yeah, I could, because I'm close to you. But the king, how do you have to talk to? Does the king, does his royal highness want to? But you can never say, you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, leave all the formalities. You're in my palace now. You're in my den. Baruch Atah. That's the kesher that I'm talking about. One time, one of the non-religious person walked into the yeshiva where Rav Eliyahu Lopian was. Eliyahu Lopian was the mashgiach. And the boys were praying. Everybody was praying. They were praying Mincha or something. So when the man came out, they asked him, what did you see? He said, I saw everybody praying, but that man over there was talking to somebody. Which means he saw a difference between the way that Eliyahu Lopian was praying. He saw as if there was somebody on the other side, that he was talking to somebody. That's what it means, tefillah. It's a yichud. When a hatan and kala, after they get married, they go into the yichud room. They're alone. At the time of tefillah, you have a private moment with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Birumosh el olam, it elevates the person. There's a famous hiddush brought down by Rav Chaim from Brisk. He brings a stira, a contradiction in the Rambam, like his way is to always do. To bring a contradiction and then reconcile it. He says, HaRambam writes in the fourth chapter of Tefillah that you have to have kavanah, concentration, throughout the whole Tefillah. And if you don't have concentration throughout the whole Amidah, doesn't count. However, six chapters later in Perik Yud, HaRambam writes, the minimum kavanah is the first beracha. If you have kavanah in the first beracha, even though you didn't have kavanah throughout the rest, the Amidah is valid. Esther of Chaim from Brisk, what do you mean? You just told me kavanah has to be throughout. Then you tell me it only has to be the first beracha. How could the Ramban contradict himself in the same six perakim later in the same chapters of Perchot Tefillah? Chaim Brisk has a big hadush. He says there's two types of tefillah, two types of kavanah. One type of kavanah is perusha milim. What are you saying? Baruch, you are the source of all blessings. Ata, you Hashem, Elokeinu, our God. Perush, what are you saying? Explanation. That, preferably you should have the whole Amidah. But if you can only concentrate for the first beracha, your Amidah is valid. That means even if you don't know what you're saying for the rest of the Amidah, right, it's not the best, but it counts. But the kavanah of the fourth perek, you know what that's talking about? A different kavanah, an overriding kavanah that you have to have throughout. And that is, da lifnei mi ata omed. When you're praying the Amidah, you have to know who you're standing in front of. You have to know you're standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if you forget that you're standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu for a minute, the Amidah doesn't count. That's the most important part of the tefillah. It's quite possible a person could pray the Amidah and not even know he's standing in front of Hashem. Because it's become so robotic and so mechanical and so ordinary that we don't even realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on the other side of this conversation. HaRambam holds, if you forget that throughout, then already the Amidah is not worth too much. And I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it to you, Chaim's right. He doesn't need me to prove it. What's the source in the Torah for tefillah? The source in the Torah is ul'obdo bechol levavchem. To serve God with your heart. That means, from the Torah, prayer is not in the mouth. Prayer is in the heart. The rabbis added a verbal element to tefillah. But from the Torah, you don't have to open your mouth. From the Torah, all a person does has to stand there and meditate a little about Hashem and think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his heart, and that's considered tefillah. Tefillah from the Torah is to connect yourself mentally and emotionally with Hashem. The rabbis came along and added a verbal component to it. But if a person has all verbal without lev, so then you didn't do anything. You didn't fulfill the mitzvah from the Torah. You might get some rabbinical points for saying some words, but a tefillah that's without a lev, as the saying goes, tefillah belo kavana keguf belo neshama. A prayer without kavana is like a body without a soul. It's lifeless. It's dead. The Gemara says in Yoma, Nun Gimal, Amit Palel, Sarik Shiyafsiya Shalosh Pisiot Lahorav, Vaharkach Yiten Shalom, Vimlo Asaken, Raui Lo Shaloit Palel. When a person prays the Amidah and he's finished, he must take 3 steps back, and then he makes Oseh Shalom Abramav, Oseh Shalom Aleinu, etc. And the Gemara says, if he doesn't take 3 steps back, he would have been better off if he doesn't pray. Comes the Yesod Veshoresh Avodah, one of the Bale Musar, and he says, and if he doesn't make Oseh Shalom, Berchotav Lebatala. Berchah Lebatala, the Berchot are wasted. Wow. I know also about the Oseh Shalom, we all do it, but I didn't realize that's such an important feature of the Amidah. If you were to ask me, what's the most important feature? First blessing, modim, asim shalom, the parnasa beracha, berechenu. And here the Gemara is making such a big deal of the end. I'm done. I finished the tefillah. Walking the 3 steps back is just ceremony. You know what the pshat is? Because if a person is talking to a king, and he finishes his conversation, what does he do? He just makes a left turn and walks away? If a person is standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and now he's finished, HaBevarechet Amo Yisrael B'Shalom, Amen, and just closes the book and walks away, what does that show? You weren't standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you don't walk 3 steps back, you ever see people, they go to the Kotel, after they finish praying by the Western Wall, you see people, they walk backwards. Some people take 3 steps back. Some people walk all the way back up the plaza. You see them walking backwards, bending. Why? They're in the presence of the Western Wall. It wouldn't be respectful for them to just walk away from such a holy place without a sign of respect. If you really recognize you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Amidah, you don't just pack out after the fin of the last berakah and walk away. You step back 3 steps and you start with your left foot, because the left foot is the weaker foot. You don't want to rush back in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You want to go deliberately, and then you bow to all the sides. But if you don't make Oseh Shalom, that means you were sleeping in the Amidah, or that means the Tefillah didn't elevate you. You're not Berumo Shel Olam. You're still on the lower levels. When the great Tzaddikim prayed, it was on such a high level that anybody that saw them praying, they themselves would be filled with yirah. You hear what I'm telling you? Watching the great tzaddikim pray brought yirat shamayim in the people. There's a famous nitziv from Volozhin. Nitziv from Volozhin says like this. He asks a strong question. Avraham Avinu had an issue, Sarah had an issue with Ishmael. He's a bad influence. He was corrupting the family. What does Sarah Aminu do immediately? She goes to Avraham. Avraham, throw him out. He's no good. Garesh. Throw him out and throw his mother out. Sarah was very confident to go to Avraham to tell him what she felt. Esther Nitziv. Esav is living in the house with Yaakov. Rivka knows how bad Esav is. And Yitzhak, for whatever reason, doesn't want to see it. However you can explain it. How come Rivka doesn't go to Yitzhak? Throw him out. I mean, we have a precedent. Sarah wasn't afraid of Avraham. Why doesn't Rivka say to Yitzhak, you're making a mistake, my dear husband. He's tricking you. He's a wise guy. He's a tzavua. He's a cheat. Throw him out. You know what Nitziv says? She had what's called pachad Yitzhak. Pachad. She was scared. Not scared in a bad way, where you say, Hashu Yitzhak was a... No, not that type of scared. You know what the right word is? Don't say scared. It's more of an awe or a reverence. You're going to go tell Achav Avadya what to do?
I'm not telling you what to do. He knows.
So, where did this reverence and awe come from, says the Nitziv? You know where it started? It says when she came back from her father's house with Eliezer in last week's parasha. So, she's on the camel. It says Yitzhak was in the field. Vayesei Yitzhak lasuach basadeh. What was Yitzhak doing when Rivka appeared? He was praying mincha. When she saw this image of Yitzhak praying mincha, what does it say? She fell off the camel. Why did she fall off the camel? It was such an awesome sight to see a human malach connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a moment of tefillah. Wow. Pachad Yitzhak. Wow. She was so affected by it that he says that moment affected her whole life. She couldn't tell him. She couldn't talk to him like that. One tefillah of Yitzhak Avinu that Rivka witnessed, she was filled with the... That's what the Inyan of tefillah is. I'm not comparing it to our tefillot. You can't even say it in the same sentence. Forget about our tefillah inspiring others. Forget about inspiring. What about ourselves? We don't even have pahad from our own tefillot, let alone... There was a great rabbi of Leib Le'Eger. He was Hasid. In his time, there were a lot of the reformers, Letzim, they loved to make theater making fun of the rabbis. They would make shows depicting all the Gedolei Yisrael in a mockery. These are the Letzim of every generation, the scoffers. They can't wait to cast Gedolei Yisrael in a negative light. So what do? They wanted to. They sent some people to Rabbi Eger's house to learn his ways so they could make fun of him. You know, they need to know the part. They have to know what they're gonna play. So they have to go see what he is. So they dressed up like Hasidim and they walked into the rabbi's house. And sure enough, he was praying the Amidah. These guys were letzim. When they walked out, their friends told them, no, so what did you see? Hey, don't make fun of the rabbi. Hey, don't make fun of the rabbi. What are you talking about? We sent you to go. They saw one Amida of the great Gaon,
already it affected them. They weren't able to.
They tell stories about the great, great grandfather, or maybe even more, of Rav Moshe Feinstein. His name was Rabbi David Feinstein. Zeker Tzadik Levracha. Rav Moshe has a son of David Feinstein, but this is the great, great grandfather. He had a job. He worked for somebody. So he made it with a goy. He had a job at a goy. The deal he made with the goy was he has to give him a little time every day to pray mincha. Even though it's going to take away from the business, the goy agreed. But the rabbi would pray with great kavanah. And eventually the goy was getting very upset. He's praying these amidot. He's not sincere. He's praying these long amidah because he doesn't want to work. That's what the goy said. He said, I don't like this over here. This man is over here. He makes himself look like he's very pious, but he's really not. I'm going to test him. David Feinstein went in the middle of the Amidah and he's praying. And all of a sudden, he's making the bowing. Baruch, he goes down. The goy takes out a gun, and he shoots a bullet. Whizzes right over his head. Rav David Feinstein finishes the modim and continues praying the Amidah. The goy couldn't believe it. After he finishes the Amidah, he tells him, now I see how genuine your kavanah is. He says, I shot a bullet at your head. I was expecting you to run. If you would have ran, I would have fired you, and who knows what I would have done to you. If you even would have turned your head, because then already you're not genuine. He says, I don't even know what you're talking about. I didn't hear any bullets. I don't even know what you're talking, the stories over here. So these were great men that the tefillah elevated them to a different olam. Tefillah also brings us to a different olam, to fairy tale land, to the land of imagination, to the land of lala, as they call it. It's a different world. Regarding this, our rabbis tell us in Sefer HaKuzari, Sefer HaKuzari says, the prayers are like meals. You have breakfast. Breakfast is supposed to carry you till lunch. And then lunch carries you till dinner. The prayer also is an exercise in emunah. You're coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the prayer of Shacharit is supposed to keep you charged until Minhata, but then you get worn off because you went to work and you're in the street and you forget. So Mincha comes along and recharges your battery to reconnect you with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the same thing with Arbit keeps you afloat till the next morning. He says, and for the Tzaddikim, the moments of Tefillah are the highlights of their day. I don't know if anybody in this room ever felt the ecstasy of tefillah. To most people, tefillah is a burden. It's a yoke. It's an obligation. It's a tax. It's cumbersome. It's something that you just have to do when you want to get rid of it. But those that felt the ecstasy of getting close to Hashem in tefillah, where you felt you were linked, where you felt you were connected, they're waiting to pray. One of the great rabbis said, maybe it was the Brisker Rav, said, he learns the whole day, hoping that in the zechut of his learning, he'll have a good tefillah. That means the whole day is revolved to get to that moment of intimacy with the Kadosh Baruch Hu at the time of the Amidah, to elevate oneself. That's the first thing. That's why the Avot did not have children. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to elevate them first. The children would come later on. But it's what the Tefillah did to Avraham, Yitzhak and Yaakov. It transformed them. It brought them to a much higher madrega. And to those that God loves, He holds back things from them because now they're forced to pray. That forces them to get better. It's like Lehavdil, of course.
In the olden days, most of the people by nature were strong. They had muscles. The woman as well. Why? Because you had no choice to be strong. You didn't have cars, and you didn't have all modern inventions, and most of them worked on the farm, so you needed to carry bundles of wheat and all sorts of machineries, and you had to carry the groceries from the store all the way. So just by living a normal life, you had the muscles were developed. You had no choice but to be strong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away needs of people in order they could work their muscles of emunah. So they'll pray to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that makes them closer to Him. And therefore, the more the tzaddik is praying, the more they're lacking, the more they're able to cultivate and get closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, it's almost a blessing in disguise. If they have everything, they don't have the reason to go to God. And therefore, they're not connected. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, to strengthen those muscles of faith, He takes it away from them. He holds it back. Now they're on a much higher madriga. That's the first reason. But I want to tell you what the Mashkiach of the yeshiva said. Rav Nassim Vachtfogel, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, the Mashkiach of the Lakewood Yeshiva. He said, in his understanding, tefillah, in his lashon, is kiyum. Kiyum is endurance. What does it mean? He says, if you want something to last, you got to pray for it. Things that you didn't pray for have no kiyum. You might get it. You might have a blessing. But if it didn't come through a tefillah, it goes away. It'll disintegrate. It's temporary. If you want to solidify your blessings, that they should be lasting, so tefillah creates a lasting blessing. And he proves it. What's his proof? He says, there's a famous story in the Navi of Hannah. Hannah prayed and prayed and prayed for a child. She went to Eli HaKohen. Eli says, what do you want? I want a child. I've been praying all my life for a child. Eli says, no problem. God will answer your prayers. Who is born to Hannah? Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi at a young age was sent to the yeshiva. Who's the Rosh Yeshiva? Eli. This is the child. He knows Shmuel. He knows the whole story. Shmuel, at the young age, was a child prodigy. He was a genius. He was a gaon. He even knew more Torah than Eli HaKohen. If you can imagine that. Eli HaKohen once was discussing a halakha, and Shmuel unwittingly corrected him. He said, no, that's wrong. It's not the halakha. So Eli says, you're right. You're right. I'm wrong. You're smarter than me. But you're guilty. Because you're not allowed to correct your rabbi. And therefore, you're hayav mitah. There's a death penalty on you. Wow. So now, Hannah found out about this. So Hannah goes to Eli and says, please, don't do anything to my son. I prayed for this boy. This is the boy I prayed for. So Eli says, don't worry. I'll get you another son. He'll be better than Shmuel. If it's possible, he'll be smarter. He'll be a bigger prophet. I'm going to exchange. You'll get a better son. So she says, so most interpretations explain it. I want this one. I don't want another one. Somebody comes and tells you, give me back this kid, we'll give you another one. We'll trade up. I don't want to trade up. I want this one. That's the simple interpretation. It says, underline the word hazeh. I want this one.
Doesn't Vachvogel says, no, you're underlining the wrong word. You got to underline the word hitpalalti. She's saying, this boy over here is different. This is the boy I prayed for. And because I prayed for him, he has to have existence. This child has to have endurance. Something great is going to come out of him. If you're going to trade him in, the child that you're going to give me, I never prayed for. And therefore, I don't have any aspiration for something that I'm going to get for free. Without a prayer, cannot be too valuable. Hence she's saying, hitpalalti. That you can't exchange with me, Eli HaKohen. You can give me a better child, but it's without tefillah. This child over here is a result of all the tefillot. So says the rabbi, amazing. Ask yourself a question. Klal Yisrael is the most persecuted nation in the history of the world. Just go read history books. There's not a day on the calendar that the Jews were not persecuted somewhere in the world throughout the ages. Every day when you look at the history, this day in history, the Jews were thrown out of Spain. This day in history, there was a blood libel in Russia. This day, every single day commemorates another terrible persecution against Klal Yisrael. Omdim aleinu lechalotenu bechol dor vador, in every generation. And ask yourself a question. How does one sheep survive 70 wolves that are salivating? And how did we still endure and exist? You know what the answer is? Because you know how our nation was founded? Through prayer. Abraham and Sarah had to pray for 190 years for Yitzhak. And Yitzhak had to pray for Yaakov. And Yaakov and Rachel had to pray for the Shevatim. All of Klal Yisrael is a direct product of prayer. And something that comes as a direct product of prayer has kiyum, has existence. Such an item cannot be lost. Hence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the tzaddik. Therefore he holds back from them what they need, especially their children, because he wants to bring a berakah to the child. When the child will finally be born, it'll be because of tefillah. That's the greatness of the tefillah, of the tzaddik. It guarantees our existence. The reason why they're unable to destroy us is because many tefillot were registered. Hence there's two concepts that we're saying tonight. The first concept is, tefillah connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second concept is, we must pray for our blessings, because that makes them kayamim, v'ne'emanim la'ad, ul'ol me'olamim. Now I want to tell you something else. Many people think that unless they need something, then there's no purpose to pray. Have children. Have a job. Baruch Hashem, the doctor says I'm okay. So really, Baruch Hashem, I don't need the blessing of the tzaddik or tefillah because I'm good. Oh, what is prayer? Prayer is for, you know, people that, based on what I'm telling you tonight, it's not so. Prayer is not for stuff. I have a quote. I wrote it down because I thought it was a very insightful. The quote goes like this. I'm going to find it. Oh, it's such a good quote that the Yetzirah doesn't let me find it. That must be a good quote. So I'll find it in the Sefer that I saw it. Ah, Nimsa. This is an unbelievable quote. She'en ha'adam mitpalel mipnei she'hased lo. Ela hased lo kedei she'yitpalel.
A person doesn't pray because he's lacking. He's lacking in order that he should pray. It's a reverse. Hashem takes it away from you to get you to pray. That's the main thing. There was one great rabbi, the Shiva Berachot, at a party for the Hatam Mikala. So they brought out the first course of the, you know, the fruit cups, and then they brought out the main course of the appetizer. Then they brought out the meat and everything, and then they brought out dessert, and the meal is over. So now the rabbi sitting there, who's running the Shiva Berachot, and now they bring out the sheets for the Birkat HaMazon. He says, now the main course. Which means to the great Tzaddikim, that's the main course. The main course is now we have an excuse we can make the Birkat HaMazon. To the Tzaddik, he wishes he can make Birkat HaMazon without eating. But he can't. It's Berachah Batala. So he's got to eat. So he can make, because the Birkat HaMazon gets him close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some people eat, so they're eating, so they have to make a beracha. But their main function is to eat. But the tzaddik, he wants to make a beracha. But they tell him, listen, Hacham, you can't make a beracha unless you eat something. Okay, so I have to eat something. They tell a story once about the Brisker Rav. It was actually sheet time on Shabbat. It's been high afternoon. He tells his students, bring me an apple and a banana. They bring him an apple and banana. But then they notice after, he never ate the apple and the banana. So he said, Chacham, everything okay? He says, yeah. I was counting how many berachot I made today. Because you have to make 100 berachot a day. And I only had 98. So I needed another etz and another adama to get me to the 100. But when I went to pray mincha, they gave me an aliyah to the Torah, so I got the two berachot over there, so I don't need the... You understand? When we look at an apple, what do we see? An apple. When the Brisker Rav looks at an apple, what does he see? A borei pri ha'etz, 99. When he sees the orange, the banana, oh, borei pri ha'adamah over here. He doesn't see a banana. Banana doesn't need it. They got the two from the Sefer Torah. So somebody asked a good question, Stam, in parentheses on this story. Brisker Rav was a smart man. What did he need two items for? Let him take the banana, make adama, and then after he finishes, let him make borei nefashot. That's two berachot. What did he need an apple and a banana for? That's a good question, yeah? Explanation is, you think Brisker Rav's interested in eating bananas? All he wanted to do was to eat a little of it. He didn't want to eat a shi'ur. All he wanted to eat is a taste of it. Just so he could make it. There was no beracha harona. He's not going to have that. He said, not have a banana split now. He wants to have a little piece of banana. That's all he wants to have. But he wants a little piece of apple also. He's not going to eat shi'ud for the beracha harona. You see, everything of the tzaddikim, it's an excuse to get closer to Hashem. The food was just a conduit. Whether you need something, you don't. The tefillah serves its function regardless. So I'm telling you something like this, and I'll conclude. Just the hour is late. We started late, but just to conclude with something. This is the tefillah. I'll tell you a funny story. Sometimes when you're learning something, you get excited. I was once learning with my havruta in the yeshiva. It's an embarrassing story, but I'll tell it to you. We learn from these stories. I was learning with my havruta in the yeshiva, and we're learning Gemara Berachot, and it's talking about the laws of Atachon and Tanu. On Motzei Shabbat, you have to add Atachon and Tanu to the Amidah. And we're learning it, and we're studying it, and we're studying it so deep, understanding all the nuances, what does it mean, each word, the Kavanot, and so on and so forth. We studied it for like 2 hours, without any Bitul Torah, just straight learning, it was good learning. So after we finished, it's a Tuesday night. We're praying in the yeshiva. So I'm praying the Amidah in the yeshiva. So all of a sudden I'm praying and I scream out, Atachon and Tanu. Somebody says, well, Atachon and Tanu. This guy out of his mind, this guy drunk. It's Tuesday night. And it didn't even hit me. And everybody's saying, hey, whom? They thought like I'm a litz. What is the guy joking around there? Tuesday night saying Atachon and Tanu? I said, what?
It's not Shabbat. Whoa, where am I? Oh, okay. I'm going to bury my head. Which means, once in a while, you get to a level where you're so engrossed in the, you just want to say it already. I don't want to wait till Motzei Shabbat. I want to say it now because I understand. You get lost in the tefillah. But you have to let yourself connect. So I saw Gemara. The Gemara says, how much kavanah you have to have in the tefillah? We're talking about a bullet over the rabbi's head. Gemara says, afilu nahash karuch al akebo. Afilu amelech shoel b'shlomo lo yafsik. Even if there's a snake curled around your leg, don't interrupt the Amidah. Even if the king is asking you in the middle of the Amidah, Shalom, don't interrupt the Amidah. But I heard a beautiful derasha in this Gemara. The Gemara is telling us that you have to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu under all situations. There are some Jews that have swayed so far from Yahadut. They've committed so many sins. And they've repeated the sins. The Yetzer Hara has the guy in his clutches. And the person thinks, what am I going to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I'm lost already. There's no way that my neshama can be resuscitated. The Yetzer Hara, who was the first Yetzer Hara in the world? He was the snake. Nahash Kadmon, he was the snake. The Gemara is saying, afilu nahash karuch al akebo. Even if the person is in the clutches of the snake, he's in the Yetzer Hara's hands. Al yafsik, don't stop from praying. A person will connect himself back to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the Satan will go away. You're able to elevate yourself even if you're on the lowest levels. Afilu nahash karuch al akebo. And then you have the other side. You have some people that are on high levels of religion. They're very close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the Gemara says, Al ta'amin atzmecha b'yatzmecha yom motcha. A person should not trust himself until the day he dies. That even though today he's holding on high levels, if he doesn't pray for divine assistance, he could fall from his level. If he doesn't have si'ata d'shmaya, we saw people that were on great madrigot, and all of a sudden, they fell. So the Gemara says, "Va'afilu haMelech Shoel b'Shlomo." Even if this guy's on such a high level, Melech Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shoel b'Shlomo, the King, God Almighty, says hello to him every day. He's so close to Hakadosh Baruch Hu that he has Al Yafsik. Don't interrupt from the Tefillah. That means you need siyata d'shmaya. The lowest person, nahash karuch, afilu haMelech Shoel b'Shlomo. Even if the King, God Almighty, is so close to him that he tells him good morning. Al yafsik. That means under all circumstances you need to have tefillah. And this is what we learned from the Avot. And guess what? They got answered. And guess what? We're here today as a result of. We're the product of that tefillah of Yitzhak and Rivka. One gematria, even though I told you I'm not going to give you a gematria, but I cannot. My Yetzer Hara doesn't let me go without saying a gematria. What's the gematria of Yitzhak? Count it. Yitzchak is Yud Sadi. Yud Sadi is how much? 18. Yud is 10. Sadi is what? 90. So that's 100. Chet and Kof. So Yitzchak is 208? 208? How much is Rivka? Resh Bet is 202. Kof is 302. He is how much? 307. No, what's both of them together? 307 and 208? 515. Gematria, tefillah. So you see over here that Yitzhak and Rivka, 515, the numerical value of tefillah, they epitomized this concept. They prayed, they went above the mazal, vataha Rivka. And therefore, Rabotai, this is something that we cannot be mizalzel in. The Arizal said, I don't know if I'm quoting him right, but he said at the end of time, before Mashiach comes, even though we always say Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, but at the end of time, people have to go back to tefillah. Tefillah is going to be one of the keys, which is emunah, to bring the Mashiach. And therefore, let us go back to the ways of the Avot. Tefillot Avot Tikenu, they established it for us. You're not going to get back to it in one class like this. This is just an eye-opener that it's an item. You know, oh, I didn't even know it's an item. We have to get back to it. You have to go to Shi'urim on Tefillah. You have to read books on it. You have to rediscover the Sidur. But the most important thing is that when you're standing in the Amidah, at least for the 3 minutes, even if you don't know what you're reading, to remember they're standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch. And when you take the 3 steps back, remember that there was somebody in front of me. Da lifnei mi ata omed. And then, Bezat Hashem, I bless you all. Kabal selotana uba'otana. Im seloton uba'oton. Lechol bet Yisrael. Kodam abuna d'mishvaya v'ar'a. V'emru amin. V'hananya v'rek ha-shamer. Tzadar kuzik od Yisrael. V'ikha kibarim tazumim arva. V'chapes ma'an sitko. V'li Torah v'yadir. V'yadir.